that was a very moving time. So it's great to be back with the East this morning. What kind of people inspire you? What are the kinds of people that make you feel like, wow, it moves you? The hairs stand up on the back of your neck when you hear their stories. I think there's different kinds. I think when people sacrifice something, that moves us. We feel inspired. I think when people overcome great odds, that's inspiring. But I think when people never give up, that's inspiring. So today's sermon is called Never Give Up. And hopefully this will be an inspiring idea for all of us. Before we read Luke 18, in Woodford there's a statue of Churchill. Churchill, did you know he failed his like GCSEs? Students, take courage. It's not an invitation to fail GCSEs. Did you know Churchill was defeated in every single election for public office until he became Prime Minister at the age of 62? I didn't know that. He failed so many times. He later wrote, never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honour and good sense. Never, 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 never give up. I don't know about you, I'm personally glad that he had that attitude and he became Prime Minister at the time that he did. Well, what about Nelson Mandela? Isn't he perhaps the most inspiring person of the last half century? 27 years in prison, he never gave up, kept on going. So there are inspiring characters, but is it something we need to have? Let's look in Luke 18, verse 1. Down to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice. So she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And Jesus uses this parable in a kind of Jewish way of arguing lesser to greater. And he says, you know, here's a very unjust, unfair judge who really doesn't care. And here's someone who really is down, is out, and she needs his help. Well, if an unjust judge can listen to her, surely God, who is love, who loves people, surely he will listen to us. And he says this because he wants to challenge us that the issue is not about God, but it's about us. The issue is, will there be faith? Will we continue to have faith? See, Christianity is not a fashion. And for those of us here today who are Christians, and those of us who are looking to checking it out, Christianity isn't a chain you wear around your neck. It's not an earring. It's not a change of hair color. Jesus says Christianity is for the long run. It's something you decide to do, and you stick it out, and you don't give up. So the question is, will I be one of the ones that keeps the faith? So we have 3 points today to help us to be one of the ones who never give up. Point number one, burn and learn. Burn and learn. Luke chapter 4 and verses 22 to 30. So as a church, we're reading through the New Testament right now, but we're not reading through the book of Luke. So everything I'm preaching from today is from the book of Luke. So just so you don't feel cheated. So Luke 4, 22. And notice, no PowerPoint today. No video. Paper. What's going on? That's right. So Luke 4, 22, verse 30, down to 30. It's about Jesus. We're jumping in here. Jesus is in the synagogue and it's his first sermon. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And you'll tell me, do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So Jesus' first sermon in Luke, it starts off well. Everybody's speaking well of him. Oh, we know this guy, Jesus. Very good. Nice words. Exciting. Inspiring. And then what does he do? It's like he insults them. Just like Mike did so cruelly earlier today. All those poor Arsenal fans. I know what you're thinking, Arsenal fans. All those welcomes that we've had since the beginning of the year where Paul Rowden could have talked about Man United. And he didn't. Never mind. But Jesus here. I'm sure we'll get our chance. I'm from the red side of Manchester, by the way. So, but Jesus here, he insults the crowd. And they get so angry, so furious, they take him to a cliff to try to kill him. Imagine the scene at home. After this sermon, Jesus is there with Mary, his mum, brothers and sisters. Jesus, honey, how did the first sermon go? I heard you preach today in the synagogue. Well, it started well. Then they tried to kill me. Really? Maybe you should calm down a little bit, son. Change your message slightly. Jesus doesn't change his message. He got intense opposition. But he kept on going. Many years ago, as a single man, before I was married, obviously, I lived in a house in North London, and I'm not renowned for cooking. Anyway, this day I decided to bake a potato or two, and my mum had taught me that when you bake a potato, if you put a knife through it, the heat will travel down and cook the centre of the potato better. Okay? So I put a knife in the potato, and myself and my fellow housemates sat and chatted away in the kitchen while the potato was cooking. After a while, I don't know, 15 minutes, I looked to the oven, which had a window in it, and noticed it was on fire. And flames were, there were flames in the window. Now, don't do what I did in this situation. So, panicking, I opened the door. The flames went out, singed my hair and my eyebrows. Quickly, I then closed the door and turned off the gas. So we were in shock. I was okay, and everyone went, what? Tony, what happened? And we looked at the potato, and I thought, I followed Mum's instructions, and we looked at the knife. Had a plastic handle. I wasn't deterred. I was burned, and I learned I wasn't deterred. A couple of weeks later, I tried again. And I put a knife through the potato, and I put it in the oven. And we sat down chatting as we did. And this time, when we looked at the window in the oven, there were no flames. I thought this is going well. So after an hour or so, and the potato is nice and well-cooked, put on my oven gloves, brought it out, and showed it to my housemates. I said, look at this perfectly done potato. Let me just remove the knife. and I then grabbed the knife with my fingers, grabbed it nice and tightly, and realized what 200 degrees feels like when it goes through your fingers. Ah! Burn and learn. And yet, though I was burned twice, I still cook. Not very well, isn't that right? But I still cook. You know, as Christians, we get burned. We get burned. We get burned as we get defeats with sin. And it feels like we get burned. We get scarred. Maybe our relationships aren't what we thought they would be. And we get hurt. We get burned. Maybe we reach out to people in the mission. We invest our hearts. And they let us down. And they turn away. And we feel it. We feel burned. But though you get burned, you have to move on. Being burned isn't a reason for giving up. Jesus had a nasty reaction to his sermon. He kept on going. He didn't stop because of that. I burned my fingers. I still have to eat. I still have to go. I still got to make food. So point number one, don't give up because you got burned. Point number two, keep your eye in the sky. Keep your eye in the sky. Let's turn to Luke 13 and these verses 31 to 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Hey, leave this place. Go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Don't tell that fox. I'll keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Again, Jesus is on his way. He meets opposition. And yet, what keeps him going? He's being threatened here. He's being threatened with his life. But he keeps on going yet again. Why does he keep on going? Because his vision, his mission is bigger, it's higher, it's greater than what's going on around him. He keeps his eye in the sky. He keeps looking ahead. He doesn't allow this opposition, these challenges of the day to hold him back. She goes skiing. You learn to ski, you start on the nursery slopes, right? And you kind of walk up the slope and fly down there with your snowplow. That's it. You do your snowplow down there. But if you really want to ski, if you really want to experience a sensation, you've got to go to the top of the mountain. You can't walk to the top of the mountain. You've got to jump on the ski lift, get to the top, and then you can really experience skiing. Our calling is bigger than our problems. Our mission is greater than our everyday challenges. But if we don't have it, if we don't remember it, when the challenges come, when the opposition comes, we'll feel like giving up. We'll feel like giving up, all right, but we will give up. But we've got to aim higher and remember the higher calling. As a Christian, as a disciple, you have a calling to make an eternal difference in this world. It's not something to be ashamed about or insecure about. It's something to be proud of and excited about. And you've got to allow it to pull you up to the mountaintop so you can really see, so you don't stay on the nursery slopes. Sylvester Stallone, he shot to fame with the film called Rocky, which for you young folks was back in the 70s. When I was a young folk too, of course. So Stallone was refused. He wrote Rocky. And he ended up starring it. He was refused. He was turned down 1,500 times for that script. So he said. You know what? He could have sold the script, but he wanted it to star in the film. And no studio would allow him to star in the film. So he could have settled for less. But he didn't. His goal, his vision was so much higher. And that's why he's turned down so many times. We get disappointed so many times because our vision is higher. Our goal is higher. That's the way it is. And we have to be accept that. So keep your focus. Keep your eye in the sky. Finally, point number three. Depend on a friend. Depend on a friend. Luke 24 and verse 13. So we've gone through all the way through the book of Luke now. From 4 to 24. Never give up. Depend on a friend. Luke 24, verse 13 down to 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we'd hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels. He said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." So here's these two disciples. Jesus has died unexpectedly at the hands of the Jews and the Romans collaborating together. And for the followers around Jesus at that time, as we know, this was a disaster. He predicted it, that they just didn't see it coming. And they were left, like it says here, downcast, despondent, walking away. What is going on? But everyone needs a friend when we're downcast and despondent and walking away. And Jesus comes along and he says to them, we'll carry on here in verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They needed a friend. They were confused. They didn't understand what was happening. They needed someone to come in, luckily Jesus, and direct them and understand and reason and help them. And when they got through that, they were back on track. Depend on a friend. I studied the Bible back in at the end of the 80s with Mike here. But there came a point where I decided to quit. So at the time, I was having close friends and my family were kind of involved, and I started to study the Bible, and initially I thought this is great. But I loved coming to church. I thought it was inspiring. The messages were really different. I liked the people. There was the energy. And after a couple of times of studying the Bible, I thought this is fantastic. And then we got into some more deeper studies and we looked at the whole idea of sin and the things you need to change. And it wasn't so fun anymore. So I started to make some changes. The first thing was I gave up the job I had, which I worked in a bar. So I was a barman behind the bar. So I threw that out. The next thing I did was I gave up my dancing. There's no pictures today. There could have been, but we're having a PowerPoint through one. So Alexander knows this. To cut a long story short, I used to do Latin American dancing, and I had a partner, and we trained, and we had a routine, and blah, blah, blah. You can see the trophy, there's one at home. Anyway, after studying sin, I felt this wasn't really a good thing for me to do. Maybe you can do dancing, that's fine, but I felt it wasn't a good thing for my heart purity. So I said to my dance partner, I quit. So suddenly these changes got more and more visible, had more and more impact on the people around me. And finally, as we studied more about sin, I decided where I was living and the house I was living in wasn't right either. I shared a house with a fella and three women and decided that wasn't a good thing for a Christian to do. So I left the house and stayed in one of the brothers, stayed on the floor. Well, he stayed on the floor, I slept in the bed. Suddenly, people didn't think this was such a good thing. Initially, they thought, that's great, you're being a Christian, Tony. Good for you. That's wonderful. They didn't think that anymore. Of course, my dance partner said, what's going on? My friend said, why have you left our house? What you used to come and share with us when you had your Bible studies, and now you're off somewhere else. Finally, Mum and Dad got involved. Uh-oh. I went back to Manchester to see Mum and Dad and explain all that I was doing and why I was doing it, and the pressure really hit home. And they said, you know what? We're pleased you're becoming a Christian, but you've taken it too far. You know, go back to London. Don't go back to that church. Find another one. You know, take up your dancing. Go back to your bar job. Move back into your house. I felt, God, what's happening? I'm turning myself in. This is supposed to be the best dream come true. It's a nightmare. It's my worst nightmare. Everybody is against me. I had no one supported me anymore than what I was doing. I felt terrible. I couldn't take it. I knew this was the truth. I knew it was the right thing to do. But the pressure was too much. So I phoned Mike. I don't know if he remembers. I phoned Mike. I said, I thanks very much, but I'm not continuing anymore. Thanks for all you've done for me. I'm moving on. And Mike said, let's just meet one more time. More pressure. I've made my decision, and one more time. For what would Mum and Dad say? Oh, I wrestled with it. He said, well, is it really right to you know, just finish like this on the phone? Well, maybe not really. So I thought, okay, it's not really right. I'll meet one more time. Well, anyway, Mike couldn't make it. And a fellow by the name of Andrew Agarbat came instead. If you know Andrew, who's in part of the church in the Northwest, I never forget this. So we met at Ulins, University of London Union. And we sat down, and I was so emotional. Everybody's against me. I couldn't think. And Andrew's a great guy, and he'd done everything to help me and support me in studying the Bible. But I'd got this decision. I just wanted the pain to finish. So we sat down, and he was in tears. Makes me emotional just remembering it. He was crying. He said, Tony, don't do it. Don't give up. This is the right thing. I thought, more pressure. But I couldn't see. I just couldn't see what to do. Anyway, the cafe where we were sat, it was closing. So we got up, went into a lift to go down to the cafe on the ground floor. I don't know why. Someone else got into the lift. And Andrew reached out to him. Invited him to church. It was like, of course, that's what a real Christian does. And it was really like the scales fell from my eyes. I don't know why it was or what he did, but when we got out the lift at the bottom, I didn't feel emotional anymore. I felt decisive. I knew that I had to stay. I was this close from quitting, and I was going to quit on God. It wasn't like I was going to find another church that teaches the truth. No, I was going to quit on God. I was eager to get out of it. I was this close, but a friend was there. You know, we need to be friends to each other. These times will come. Emotional times will come. I think that they're less as you get older, but certainly when you're young, the pressure will be there. And we need to be there for one another. And who knows what you need to do? I don't think Andrew didn't plan that. He gave his heart. God worked. And I'm grateful for that. In conclusion, guys, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Never give up. Burn and learn. Keep your eye in the sky. Depend on a friend. C.S. Lewis writes this in the Screwtape Letters. They're a wonderful book. They're about two demons writing to each other. And you can learn a lot. And he's writing here about Jesus. This is one demon to another. Don't be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in danger than when a human, no longer desiring, but still intending to do God's will, looks round upon a universe from which every trace of God seems to have vanished, and asking why he's being forsaken, still obeys. Jesus never gave up. Today, I want you to think about the main decision you have to make. Are you a person that will never give up? Thank you.
That was a very moving lesson. And I really want to thank Tony just for sharing his heart. I do remember that phone call. And it's an encouragement that after almost, 28 years, 27 years, that 26 years, that Tony is still here. He's faithful. I'm sure his boys appreciate that. I'm sure Margareta appreciates it. But, you know, it's something which we've got to really take to heart. Because there will come times in all of our lives where we are tempted to quit. And it's at those times that we are called just to really step out on faith and to persevere. It's at those times that we can do with a friend in our lives who really help us to stay the distance. Tony was mistaken. I wasn't insulting Arsenal fans. I was commiserating with them. If I wanted to insult anyone, I would just say Man United 7th in the league right now. But I'm not going to do that. And I do remember when Tony gave up his Latin American dancing. You know, Tony's very slim now, but even back 26 years ago, he was rake thin. We called him Snake Hips. But he's so much better today, so it's really encouraging. But honestly, what an appropriate lesson, particularly for the three women who are going to be baptized today as they start out their walk with God, and it's really encouraging. At this time, I want to ask Isabel to come up to the front, along with Madeline and Shakira, and is Emma here as well? But if I can ask you just to all come up to the front. And Shakira's going to have a bit of a challenge because she had a knee operation on Friday. So we'll be seeing her on crutches for a while. Someone can hold her notebook for her so she's not up here.
You got this.
I'll ask Madeline Shear first and then Shakira. And then at that point I'll come back up.
Well, good morning, church. I'd like to introduce you to Isabel Steed. She's an amazing part of our teen ministry here in the East, and she's going to get baptized today. And I'm just so excited. I don't want to, talk for that long because I don't want to get super emotional because I feel really emotional. I've been feeling really emotional all morning about this. But I am just so, so excited for Isabel. It's been amazing studying the Bible with her, I think. God has really been working in her life. She was reached out to by some of her classmates at Davenant, which is amazing. Some of the teen disciples reached out to her on the bus, invited her to church, and I think it's just been so cool to study the Bible with her because she has such a soft heart for the scriptures, and I think every time we've looked at the Bible, she's looked at it, come to an understanding of it, seen it, been like, okay, this is going to be hard, this is not what I've done, but I'm going to do this now, and I think that's how simple it should be, and I think that's just such her heart, And yeah, I'm just so excited for this. I have so much faith in you and your life and the people that you're going to impact, and I can't wait for you to be my sister.
Yeah, it's been absolutely incredible studying the Bible with Isabel, like an absolute joy. And it has been a pleasure to be a part of your journey, to be honest. And I feel like you're a great example of living to please God. I just feel like in every aspect of your life, you're just so willing to do what's right, no matter what it takes. And I often think of the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. It says, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." And I feel like even as you're studying the Bible, you just changed so much. And even when things are tough and you're like, oh, this is gonna be challenging, you just go for it anyway. And I feel like your priority is to do what's right and to please God. And I think if you continue with that, then you're pretty much sorted. So thank you so much for just being so willing and so humble, and it's been an absolute joy. So thank you.
Before we baptize you today, I've got two questions to ask. Number one, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? And what is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. We're going to have the baptism after the service, but you guys can go ahead and take a seat. And at this time, I'm going to head and ask Penny to come forward, along with Jane and Diana and Cecilia. I'll have Jane share first, then Diana, and then Cecilia.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be standing here with Penny. I do feel very privileged to have been able to study with her, and the fact that she welcomed me, I feel as though she welcomed me into her her life, even though I'm that much older than her. And but she's just such a warm person, and what she's really grown in is her ability to be vulnerable, to talk about what's on her heart, to allow other people in. And as she's done that, God's really been allowed to work in her life. And I've seen the Bible really change her as she's grown her vulnerability. And I really recommend her to you, because she's such a gentle, kind, appreciative person. She's going to be such a great asset to the church in the East. And it's going to really bring so many more people in, I feel, just because of her love for other people. So I'm really happy for you, Penny. Congratulations.
Diana?
I promise that I'm not allowed to cry, so I will hold to that promise. But it has been an absolute privilege to be in your life and studying the Bible to you. And a bit like echoing what Jane said, it's just, I've really seen how God's word has really transformed your life. And the only way he was able to do that is because you allowed that, even through your tough times. And a bit like what Tony was saying, you just wanted to, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this. You really persevered and you went back, and you're a bit of a Berean in trying to understand that, let's go back through those scriptures and really dig in further and actually just open your heart, not just to us and the rest of your family, but to God's word. And that is what's going to really sustain you. There was a scripture that came to my mind when I was just this morning. It's in Romans 15:5, and it says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you will glorify God the Father, Lord our Christ." And I just think you are going to glorify him just by the way you're going to present your life and the way you're just going to really reach out. And I just can't wait to be a part of that journey and see how God is going to use you. I'm just very honoured. Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, just been such a, an honor to study with Penny. She's great, and we started to study almost 1 year ago, and it was a long journey, and at the beginning I was like, this is a waste of time, she doesn't want to. And we stopped, and we stopped again, and we stopped again, and stopped again, and but I just realized she really wanted to be to do that because she wanted to please God. She didn't want to be baptized to pleasing us or to, but she wanted to do for God, and she wanted to be in the right place in their heart. And I just seen how she has grown, and she really, now I know that if now she got to this decision, it's because she really wants to give her life to God and not pleasing us. And it's just been great to see her in last studies, just come with her questions, and I learned so much from her questions. And I just love you so much. She's really, really loving and sweet, and I just encourage you to get to know her. And I love you.
Well, Penny's been part of the discussion that meets in our house, and it's been a really encouragement to see how much she has changed over the last 12 months or so. Penny, I have two questions to ask you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for your sins?
Yes.
What is your good confession?
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to ask you guys to take a seat as well, and at this time I'm going to go ahead and ask Christina, also known as Sugar, to come up along with Ahika and Lizelle. Lizelle, if you'd like to share first perhaps, and then and Ahika.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet, just like Sugar. And her name is actually Christina. She's got that name because she is a very sweet girl. I've worked and known her for quite a long time now, and that is a name the colleagues at work gave her because it really suits her. It's been an emotional ride until here. She's crying. I'm not gonna look at her. She's going to cry. And she has just been awesome. She has been through quite a bit, and she's just thrown herself into God and into the Word. And I think she's an inspiration. I learned so much just studying the Bible with her, and I feel new myself, to be honest. And Sugar, you're making the best decision anybody can give to. So, welcome, and we'll be here for you. Yes? Love you.
just looking at Sugar now, if you look at her, this is what she's been like throughout her studies. It's just lots of tears. It's been really inspiring just studying with Sugar and just seeing her, just her heart just melts when she hears God's word, and she's just so eager to do what God says, and you know, and live to come. She's like, I can't wait to get to do this, to you know, get baptized and go home to the Philippines and tell my family and just share with them. You know, she's just got such a great heart, and I know you're going to be a great, great disciple. You know, you've got so much to give. You're very humble. You know, you really opened up and shared with so many. You know, and Sugar is not someone that is, you know, very open, or you know, she's very shy. She can be very shy, but she's a very lovely woman to get to know. She, you know, teens get to know her. You know, she's just fun. She's very fun. Sugar, you know, one thing that inspired me during studying the Bible is just your zeal to just get into the Word. You know, once we opened the scriptures to her and told her that this is it, this is God's Word, she just went back and, you know, she opened it, and, you know, you inspired me when you said you read the whole book of Job, you know, in one night. You know, she just couldn't stop reading. And, you know, that's a great heart to have, and, you know, just to get your food from this, or keep it up. And I just wanted to share a scripture with you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new has come, the old has gone." You know, the new is here. This is your time now.
Same two questions for you, Sugar. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for your sins? And what is your good confession?
Jesus is my Lord.
We are going to have all those baptisms in just a short while. We're going to have one final song, then we're going to ask the parents to go ahead and collect their children from their classes, and then the baptisms will take place just through this door over here. Thank you. Let's stand for our final song.
Let me encourage us to think about